This is KUAR FM 89. I'm Michael Hiplin. On election night here in Arkansas, we are being joined in the studio by Rex Nelson and Jay Barth, who will provide some analysis in just a few minutes. Also, Ben Fry will be coming in to give us some of the early poll results that we're getting. But thought I would start first with FM 89's Nathan Vandiver, who is out at the Republican watch party at the Embassy Suites in West Little Rock. And Nathan, what's the mood like there?
Hi, Michael. Republicans are upbeat. The atmosphere is light and happy here at the watch party in West Little Rock. They even have skylights outside. Party Chairman Doyle Webb, he welcomed everybody here a few minutes ago, saying tonight's a great night for Republicans in Arkansas. He told me a little earlier he knows they will win by majority, just not by how much. There was a video for the crowd of Will Rockefeller talking about the legacy of his family for the Republican Party here in the state. Asa Hutchinson spoke. Doyle Webb told the crowd that Hutchinson filed the lawsuit a long time ago that made Arkansas a two rather than a one-party primary state, opening the doors for more Republicans in offices here. They're really saying that they've arrived tonight as a major political party in the state. Jerry Cox, who's a family counsel, is here as well, and he says the polls are looking good for his cause against medical marijuana. He said those polls don't vote, so he's holding out for to declare victory on that one. Everybody seems pretty happy here, Michael.
Okay, that's FM 89's Nathan Vandiver, who is at the Republican Watch Party in West Little Rock. And certainly Republicans are hoping for a big night. With me in the studio, as I said, Rex Nelson, former political editor for the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, still writes a column for them, and also was one-time advisor for Governor Mike Huckabee, and Jay Barth with Hendricks College, chair of the Department of Politics and International Relations. And I guess, Rex, I'll start with you. This Republicans are expecting this is going to be a big night for them in the state.
Not just a big night, Michael, but potentially a historic night. We have not seen Republican majorities in either the Arkansas House or the Arkansas Senate since Reconstruction, since the 1870s. So not only political scientists like Jay, but historians may look back on this night and say this was a very historic night in the long political history of the state of Arkansas.
Jay, what do you think has changed? Has Arkansas changed? Is it politics? Is it the president? And why is Arkansas, we're the last state in the Deep South that has changed?
Yeah, I really liked in Nathan's report, you know, kind of referencing back to the Rockefeller era, and then the reforms of the 90s that were important in kind of giving the party a step forward. But, you know, the Arkansas Republican Party is historically one of the weakest parties in the nation. It's always been outnumbered dramatically, but they've kind of stuck with it and slowly made progress. And then in the last 4 years, I think undeniably they have had a real jet stream forward. It's really been an impressive quick change all of a sudden built on that base that's been built over the years. And I think undeniably, you know, the antipathy towards the president, especially in some of the more rural parts of the state, I think are undeniable in terms of giving them that jet fuel to really make what happened the last 4 years happen.
And before we go any further, we have had the polls closed, getting close to an hour now. Polls closed at 7:30 and results just starting to trickle in. General Manager Ben Fry is following results as reported by the Secretary of State's office. And Ben, what are you seeing right now so far?
Well, we've had basically the same numbers for a while now. I suspect a lot of this is probably early vote that's been counted. Looking at the numbers from the Secretary of State's office, the first district, the U.S. congressional race in the first district, with just about 16,000 votes, Congressman Rick Crawford with 50% of the vote and prosecuting attorney Scott Ellington, the Democrat, with 45%. In the second district with almost 100,000 votes, Congressman Tim Griffin, Republican, has 50%, and Herb Brill, the Democrat, has 45%. No numbers reporting yet in the third district. In the fourth district, we have Senator Gene Jeffers, the Democrat, at 50%, and Tom Cotton, the Republican, at 47%. Now, that's only about 21,000 votes there. And then looking at some of the initiatives that have been were on the ballot. First of all, the issue number one, the state tax for highways. Right now, with 132,000 votes, that's 61% for the issue and 39% against. The second issue on bonds, issue number two on bonds, 54% against and 46% for. And the one that we've all been kind of interested in, the issue number five, the Arkansas Medical Marijuana Act, right now with 136,000 votes, we have 51% against, 49% for.
All right. Ben Fry following the numbers for us. And we're also taking questions from our listeners tonight. We have a listen line that you can call in if you have questions. You can leave a voicemail message, and we will be sharing some of those throughout the night and letting Jay and Rex answer these questions. The first one we're going to go to concerns how election results are being reported by the media, and if perhaps we are falling into a trap thinking elections are too predictable. Here's that question.
Hi, my name is Bob from Little Rock. It's about the media coverage of the election night. I just sometimes think it's a little bit disturbing how they'll almost start predicting a candidate's going to win when they say, well, only 20% of precincts were reported, and they're indicating a victory and so forth. I think it's a little misleading sometimes and misguiding to the public. Thank you.
Jay, what do you think?
Well, I think I would probably disagree just a little bit with Bob in that I think networks in particular have gotten incredibly careful about waiting to call races, especially after the Florida debacle in 2000. And, you know, they are using a combination of exit poll data, which is not perfect, but is pretty darn good because those are the folks who actually turned out to vote, and then raw data. And so, you know, that combination, you know, eventually gets you there. And I don't think the networks have really rushed tonight. I mean, they've kept a lot of states, you know, in gray rather than pushing one way or the other. And so I think I would disagree a little bit. And I think we're not going to be very quick to call what happened tonight. I know when the last time Rex and I were on 2 years ago, you know, when we left it, It didn't look like that bad a night for the Democrats in Arkansas, but you know, within an hour of our going off the air, you know, dramatic stuff had changed. So we were very careful, and I think we'll be so tonight.
Oh, absolutely. Jay's heard me talk about this. I still speak about this. We left that night not realizing that Democrats were going to lose the lieutenant governor's race, the land commissioner's race, the secretary of state's race, not realizing Republicans were going to win 100% of all the contested Senate races. So I think you do have to be careful, and Jay's right on target. The networks have become much more careful since Florida in 2000 when they all had egg on their face. It wasn't just one network. It was across the board. They were all using the same exit polling company at the time, the Voter News Service, and a lot changed since then.
Definitely. We've got another question. Again, the phone number is 569-8491. And this one concerns time limits on the voting process.
My name is Danae Hawk. I live in Whitehall, Arkansas. One of my friends went to vote and said that when he went there, there was a sign in the booth that said, you've only got 5 minutes to finish voting. My question is that legal? Is it ethical? And what should you do if you're a voter and you're in a booth with a sign like that and it's taking you longer than 5 minutes?
Well, I did send an email to Alex Reed, the spokesman for the Secretary of State's office, and he wrote back that indeed there is a time limit on voting, a 5-minute limit, but that it's generally not enforced.
I have never seen it enforced. In fact, when I went to my polling place today, there was a line for the actual booths, and they said, if you want to just take a pen and walk around to any of these tables around here and mark your ballot, if you need to get into work, go ahead. They were fairly loose about not having to go into even one of the little, you know, plastic stands to vote there. So I was in and out very quickly. I've never seen that enforced. I'm not aware I've heard of it being enforced.
No, and it does hit the point, though, that, you know, we got a lot of laws on the books related to elections, and it's very much up to the individual precinct whether, you know, exactly what gets enforced. And it's very much county to county. One thing I've really been thinking a lot about lately is I think Arkansas really does need to produce a voter's guide for its voters, so that folks, that's mailed out to every registered voter, so they can read the initiatives in advance. And so I think that's really probably where the person's question comes from, because there's some lengthy initiatives and people need some time to think about it. And the a voter's guide, like a lot of other states have, it costs some money, but I think it really pays off for voters.
And I can guarantee you there would have been a number of voters today, for instance, spending a lot of time reading two long ballot titles on casino gambling amendments that were on there but won't be counted because they'd already been thrown out by the courts.
Exactly.
And I bet there were a lot of voters spent a lot of time reading those long, confusing ballot titles.
Exactly.
Well, we welcome our listeners to call and leave questions. You can also go to our Facebook page, KU at Facebook. You can also go to our website, KUAR.org, if you need the phone number. And again, that number is 569-8491. We would like to hear from more of you as the evening progresses. Just about 30 seconds left, but Jay, I'll ask you, do you think that indeed Republicans, this will be as big a night as they're expecting?
Yeah, I anticipate that they are going to take both houses. I think the question is the margins, and they need to win some of these Pulaski County races that look very, very close to really run up some margins. They look very close in the early voting. So I think we're going to know within the next couple hours, exactly how big the margin's going to be.
Okay, that's Jay Barth joining me along with Rex Nelson in the studio. We will have more of our local coverage. Now let's rejoin NPR. This is KUAR.
From NPR News, this is special coverage of Election Night 2012. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel.
I got so sick of the ads. The mudslinging and the nastiness.
With the vast majority of state polls now closed, results are rolling in.
And a tough race nears the end. It's special coverage from NPR News.
This is KUAR FM 89. I'm Michael Hiplin, joined in the studio by Rex Nelson and Jay Barth. We'll join them in just a bit. We'll also find out the latest numbers of polling as the results come in here in Arkansas. First, though, wanted to speak with FM 89's David Wallace. He is at the Democratic Watch Party at Cottoms in Little Rock. And David, how are things over there?
Well, we're jammed in like sardines. It's a little bit of a small venue, but it's a buoyant, fairly boisterous crowd here in the early going as returns come in that are perceived as positive to this crowd. Now, of course, we're focusing on what's happening in Arkansas, and so keeping our eye on Senate and State House races to see what happens to the majority of the legislature. But most of this crowd is focused on the national picture and watching national coverage on the televisions, and so when various states, and you hear another one called, apparently, for the president, when they come in, for instance, Pennsylvania a few moments ago, cheers will go up. But as we said, we're trying to keep our eye on things a little closer to home. And Michael, joining me right now is Will Bond, the State Democratic Party chairman, who also, I'm sure, is focused on the same kinds of things, having served in the state legislature for a number of years. What's your sense of it in the early going, Will?
Well, we're waiting on the numbers. We are very excited about the effort put forth by our candidates and all the people working on behalf of Arkansas Democrats. There's a lot of numbers to come in. Some of them look real good right now. Others not perfect, but we're very hopeful and we feel good about it going forward here tonight.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much. We'll be touching back as we get a little clearer picture of what's going on. We'll be checking in with you from time to time if that's okay.
It'd be great. I'm excited to be here and we're happy to offer comment and commentary as we go forward. So let's have fun tonight.
Let me ask you this. Will you expect to see the governor, perhaps, or how about your second congressional seat candidate, Herb Rule? Who will be here this evening?
Well, we're not exactly sure who all is going to drop in. I think there'll be people dropping in and out. And Obama for America is having another get-together that kind of piggybacks on ours over at Cajun, so there may be people back and forth. We'll just have to see, but we've got a great crowd here tonight, as you've already said, and they're pumped up, so we're excited.
Thank you very much. All right, that pretty much sums it up from here at Thomas, Michael.
Okay, that's FM89's David Wallace at the Democratic Party's watch party here in Little Rock. And to get some data on the results as they come in from the Secretary of State's office, joining me is Ben Fry. Ben, what are you seeing?
Well, looking at some of the congressional races in the District 1 race with 31,000 votes counted. Congressman Rick Crawford, the Republican, at 56%. Prosecuting Attorney Scott Ellington, Democrat, at 39%. In the second district, Congressman Tim Griffin has 51%, and Democrat Herb Rule with 44%. In the third district, Congressman Steve Womack has 80% of the vote, and the Associated Press has declared Congressman Womack the winner in that race. He was not up against a Democrat, Libertarian, and Green Party candidates who together are getting less than 20% of the vote. In the fourth district, we have Republican Tom Cotton with 58%, Democrat Gene Jeffers with 38%. And just quickly looking at some of the state Senate races right now, I'm going to give you the leaders in some of these different state Senate races. In District 6, Republican Gary Stubblefield with 62%. In State Senate District 9, Republican Bruce Holland with 54%. In State Senate District 11, Democrat Steve Harrelson with 53%. District 13, we have Republican Alan Clark with 56%. District 15, Republican David Sanders with 58%. District 18, Republican Missy Thomas Irvin with 67%. In State Senate District 19, Democrat David Wyatt with 62%. District 20, Republican Blake Johnson with 56%. In District 25, Democrat Stephanie Flowers with 86%. District 27, Democrat Bobby Pierce with 67%. District 28, Tiffany Rogers, Democrat, with 64%. District 31, Senator Joyce Elliott, Democrat, with 89%. District 32, Democrat State Senator David Johnson with 58%. District 34, Democrat Barry Hyde with 51%. District 35, Democrat Linda Tyler with 57%. And that is all the numbers we have on state Senate races right now. And just quickly, let me also tell you where we are on some of the issues on the Arkansas Medical Marijuana Act. 52% against, 48% for. On the state highway tax, 60% for. And on the bond issue, 54% against.
Okay, FM89's Ben Fry joining us with some of the latest numbers. In the studio with me, Rex Nelson and Jay Barth. And clearly the Democrats are staying optimistic, as David said. They're watching the national numbers coming in, but polling, everything suggests that the legislature will be handed off to Republicans. They'll get the majority.
Yeah, I think the bigger question is the state Senate. I think that the Democrats who had control of the redistricting process really did a pretty nice job of trying to create as many winnable districts for Democrats. And and I think the Democrats also had some very high quality candidates for the Senate. Some of the numbers that Ben just read obviously sound pretty good for the Democrats. We're at that stage of the evening, though, where the votes have come from really matters. We're not at sometimes it'll just be a handful of precincts, and if they're from one end of a very large district, that may be very good for one candidate because if that's where she lives, and you know, so we're at that stage of the evening where these numbers, Ben read them very nicely, but they aren't really all that relevant to what the end of the game is going to be.
But he did sound good. You're right about that. I tell you, I love, Michael, Arkansas voters because, Jay, this is what makes Arkansas so fascinating for political scientists in the state like you. on a night when we send all of these anti-tax Republicans to the legislature, it's starting to appear we're going to raise taxes for highway improvements. Go
right.
figure.
Well, and it sounds, again, we don't know where these counties are on the medical marijuana, but it sounds like it may end up being pretty darn close.
Real close.
Arkansas politics is not going to become uninteresting after tonight. I think that's totally for sure.
And Rex, what do you think will change in Arkansas if Republicans do indeed win the majority in the legislature?
You know, I worked for a Republican governor with a heavy Democratic legislature for about 10 years, and he found a way to work with them. I tell you, Mike Beebe is a master at the legislative process, having spent so many years in the state Senate. And even if Republicans do have majorities in the House and the Senate, I think BB will reach out, try to work with them. We'll get a budget passed. We'll get some things done. We might see more social legislation than usual, for instance. But I'm confident it's not going to be just a sea change. I think we'll have a session next year and it'll be okay.
Yeah, the Democratic Party pretty much was suggesting that if Republicans got control, you would see Washington-style gridlock in Arkansas.
And I don't think so. I think what you'll see actually is some splits within the Republican Party itself between the more moderate on social issues, fiscal Republicans, if you will, the business type Republicans, and those who are, Jay, clearly, for lack of a better term, the Tea Party Republicans, who really have not been part of that establishment in the past and really don't have much in common with those business Republicans.
Right. And I think some of those more moderate Republicans are very worried about what happened in this last primary season.
I agree. Where
a lot of more moderate members got beaten in primaries by Americans for Prosperity, which had obviously a big impact in the fall as well. So I think there's a real wariness about them. But BB does have an opportunity there to reach out to that crowd and give them influence over the process. And that's why these margins really matter. Because if it's an overwhelming Republican majority, then the Tea Party crowd can kind of run it on their own. If it's very close, then the BB has a real opportunity to create a more moderate coalition.
Mm-hmm. And we do have a question. We are taking questions from listeners. You can call 569-8491 and record questions. But this one concerns the possible Republican takeover of the legislature.
This is David. I'm Clarendon. With the projection of Republican takeover, will it be enough to override a gubernatorial veto?
And the answer is yes. In Arkansas, and I will use the word unfortunately because I worked in a governor's office and worked in the executive branch for about a decade, it only takes a majority. I mean, 51 votes. I saw in Mike Huckabee's first session back in 1997, on the last day of the session, every veto he made very easily overridden. So, yeah, it doesn't take much. The veto is practically worthless. Jay, we've got that old 1874 Constitution when obviously in that Reconstruction era, they didn't want a strong governor at that point.
Right. And I think what ultimately matters is the informal powers of the governor to just stop the legislature from mm-hmm. doing it. And so there'll be some deal making that prevents some veto overrides. But if they want to do it, they could do it.
Yeah, it'd be easy enough.
Okay. Joining me in the studio, Rex Nelson, former advisor to former Governor Mike Huckabee, and Jay Barth, who is chair of the Political Science Department at Hendricks College. We will be back with more of the Arkansas analysis coming up in 20 minutes. You can also call in your questions, 569-8491. You can find that number on our website as well. This is KUAR FM 89. I'm Michael Heblin, and this is our coverage of the races here in Arkansas. Right now, Ben Fry is following the latest numbers that we get in. And Ben, right now, the poll results, what are you seeing?
Well, in looking at the congressional races in District 1, Congressman Rick Crawford with a healthy lead at 59%, Prosecuting Attorney Scott Ellington, the Democrat, with 37%. In the 2nd District congressional race, Congressman Tim Griffin, 51%, Herb Ruhl, the Democrat, with 44%. The District 3 race, of course, Congressman Steve Womack, 79% in that race, easily winning that particular seat. In the 4th District, Republican Tom Cotton with 58%, Democrat Senator Gene Jeffress with 38%. And looking at overall at the state Senate, you guys enjoyed my dissertation last time so much, I actually went through and counted them this time. And out of 18 contested races in the state Senate right now, 9 Democrats are leading and 6 Republicans are leading in those races, with one don't have any numbers on at all. So next time I'll give you my summation of the state house races and how those are looking at this particular point.
Okay, FM89's Ben Fry. And out at the Republican Watch Party is Nathan Vandiver. And Nathan, what's happening there as folks watch these numbers come in?
Hi, Michael. It's still an upbeat atmosphere here at the Republican Watch Party. The crowd has applauded a couple of times now, as results have been shown for the 1st District Congressional race, as Tom Cotton, who's lead over Democrat Jim Jeffress, looks to be growing. And as the results come in for the 2nd District race, as Tim Griffin's numbers seem to be climbing over those of challenger Herb Rule. There is a little apprehension for the presidential race. I heard one crowd member expressing worry about President Obama winning Pennsylvania, but spirits for the state Republican Party remain high. I spoke to Bruce Westerman, who would become the House Majority Leader if Republicans take majorities in that legislative body. He says he's ready to start playing offense rather than defense. And Jerry Cox, also of the Family Council, he's here, and he said the polls looked good for their cause against medical marijuana, but he said polls don't vote, so he's still waiting to hear what happens there. But it looks like the numbers are climbing in the against category there, Michael.
Okay, there's Nathan Vandiver at the Republican Watch Party this evening. In the studio with me is Rex Nelson, a longtime journalist and advisor for former Governor Mike Huckabee, and Jay Barth of Political Science from Hendricks College. Rex, any surprises at this point for you?
Not overly right now. I'm sitting here looking at the Politico website. I was telling Jay before we came on the air, and I think nationally their headline is great. Tense race finds Obama firewall holding. I mean, really two different, you heard that report from Republican headquarters, really two different feelings there. It certainly appears to me that Barack Obama nationally is going to be reelected president of the United States. I mean, I'm not making my personal declaration yet before the networks do, but that's sure what it looks like. But here in the state, I mean, it's obvious that we're going to have gone the last two election cycles from a congressional district, congressional delegation that was 5-1 Democrat at the end of 2010 to one that's going to be 5-1 Republican at the start of 2013. And that's just an amazing change over two cycles.
Yeah, definitely is, Jay.
Yeah, the, I think in the state, still early, but we are starting to get some structure to things. I think it's, the results that Ben read, I think suggests that it may be looking like a closer margin for the state Senate, at least, than may be expected. And we're seeing still a pretty close margin, 53-47 on the on medical marijuana, and a surprisingly close race, I think, in the 2nd District. Tim Griffin, the numbers are starting to come in there, and Tim Griffin obviously is going to win re-election, as nobody doubted, but he's not running the kind of margins up when, compared to, the firepower and money power advantage that he had over Herb Rule, who was very much a fill-in candidate in a lot of ways for the Democrats. So this is a night that in Arkansas, I think we're still, things are starting to gel, and it maybe isn't as overwhelming as folks thought it might be.
But, Jay, as I pointed out early, we do love the smell of asphalt in the morning in Arkansas, and it looks like we're going to tax ourselves for more roads.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah. Well, in the second district, we had one question on Facebook. Joshua Drake wrote, will any serious Democratic challenge or Democratic candidate challenge any Republican congressman in 2 years?
Well, I think in 2 years we're going to have a big shakeup in this state because you know, there's going to be an open governor's race, open attorney general's race, and then, of course, Mark Pryor running for re-election in the U.S. Senate. And I think we're going to see those Republican congressmen begin to choose which statewide race they're going to go for, and that's going to open up some seats. And I think once there is an open race, I think that the Democrats will see it as more viable. And I think Democrats really have just simply not known how to deal with Barack Obama at the top of the ballot. And I think that will be gone in 2 years. And I think Democrats will say, this is about Arkansas again. There's going to be a hot governor's race. And the focus can once again be on Arkansas. I think they'll see a new opportunity there.
I think we're going to see an extreme shakeup in 2 years. I mean, we've got an open governor's race. There's going to be a strong Republican running against Senator Mark Pryor. So I think you may see Tim Griffin out of the 2nd District run either for the Senate or governor. I have a feeling that Tom Cotton could be a one-term congressman and come back and run for whichever one of those two that Griffin does not run for. Meanwhile, a lot of business people in Northwest Arkansas are telling Womack, we need a governor from this part of the state. He could get in that race. We could see three of our four members of the U.S. House running for other offices in 2 years.
Exactly.
Well, we are also taking questions from our listeners. You can call us at 569-8491. You can also find that number on our website and leave a voicemail message. And we're playing some of those this evening, but wanted to air this question from a listener regarding Democratic candidates for office here in Arkansas.
Hi, this is Jill from Little Rock, and my question is, when Lyndon Johnson signed the Civil Rights Act in 1964, he reportedly said that the Democrats had lost the South for a generation. However, Arkansas has had a strong number of Democrats in the years following, Dale Bumpers, David Pryor, Bill Clinton, to kind of refute that fact. Do you think that the projection that President Johnson made is actually coming to pass now after basically skipping an entire generation?
Jay?
I think it's a great question. Mm-hmm. You know, state of Arkansas in a three-person race did vote for George Wallace in 1968 and did show some immediate reaction to the civil rights record of the Democrats. But I do think that that several things prevented Arkansas from kind of going with the rest of the South immediately. And one big thing is that Arkansas's African-American population is so much smaller than other parts of the South. And so where we saw the white backlash kind of most intense were in places where there was a larger African-American population than in Arkansas. And in addition, immediately very talented Democrats kind of came into place, Dale Bumpers, David Pryor, Bill Clinton, of course, and they really just kind of dominated Arkansas politics and created a very different image of an Arkansas Democrat than a national Democrat. And I think that those forces and a lot of others really kind of helped delay it. I think that the question is interesting, though, and in that I think in many ways, while the reaction to Barack Obama hasn't been entirely about race, it's been a lot more complicated than that, I do think that it did kind of force a lot of Arkansans to kind of deal with racial issues in a delayed fashion to the rest of the South.
Yeah, Jay makes a great point. Whereas a bunch of national writers through the years and national political analysts have tried to group Arkansas with the Deep South and say, why is this the outlier? Arkansas's never been anything like the Deep South. A great point. Mississippi, which has almost a 40% African-American population. Arkansas with only a 15% African-American population. I mean, we've got whole counties in Arkansas with less than 10 blacks in it. So Arkansas's very different than our neighboring states of, say, Mississippi and Louisiana.
And we only have about a minute, but Jay, you have Hendricks College along with Talk Business as polled on medical marijuana. Mm-hmm. It seemed it was almost even a couple of months ago in August, but now the polls have changed and it's not looking likely to pass this evening.
Well, it looks like it's about 53-47 against, so about a 30,000 vote. It probably is going to go down. But I do think that pretty close show, and let's assume it polls above 45%. I think that's better than anybody would have ever thought when the process started. And I think we haven't seen the last of this issue. I think that's for sure. And we are seeing it pass in some other states tonight. It'll be back in Arkansas. It's very easy to get an initiative on the ballot here. I think we'll see it back.
Okay, that's Jay Barth joining me in the studio along with Rex Nelson. This is coverage of Election 2012 on KUAR FM 89. We'll be back with more of an analysis of the Arkansas races in about 20 minutes. Thanks for listening. This is KUAR FM 89. I'm Michael Heplin, joined in the studio tonight by Rex Nelson, a longtime journalist and former advisor for former Governor Mike Huckabee, and Jay Barth, chair of the Political Science Department at Hendricks College in Conway. And first off, let's talk briefly about the second district. We've got David Wallace, who is standing by with Herb Rule. But first, Jay, can you tell me what we're seeing in terms of the second district?
Well, we're seeing a lead for Tim Griffin, the incumbent, but we're also seeing the traditional Pulaski County versus the rest of the district divide show itself. And I think some folks thought, well, maybe this time, because Herb Rule was such an outfunded candidate, that maybe Tim Griffin would be able to kind of be a Republican who could win in Pulaski County. About half the vote in Pulaski is in, and Herb Rule's up by about 17,000 votes. So he's got a good margin. There's more votes out in the district, and Griffin's doing very well in Saline County, Faulkner County, those other suburban counties. He's going to win the race, but I think it shows some weakness for him as a Republican who has not been able to make real inroads into Democratic turf.
Okay.
He's a very polarizing candidate, and it does great with Republicans, but not so well with more moderate voters.
Okay, well, David Wallace, as I said, is at Herb Rule's watch party. And David, what are things like there?
Well, it's a bit of a smaller crowd than what I had at Cottoms. You remember I told you last hour we were crammed in like sardines over there. No sardines here, but folks are in a relaxed mood and watching the coverage. Mr. Rule is here with me. By the way, is my signal okay coming to you? Because
you're sounding good.
Okay. And Mr. Rule is with me. It's been an interesting race, has it not?
Well, certainly. It's been great fun. I've had a great lot of fun doing it.
Well, yeah. We've heard that with one, it's still very early returns, about one of seven counties in, looking like about 49 to 45%. Are we about where you thought this might be?
Well, I didn't have any explicit projections. I'm going to wait till all the hay is in the barn before I make any projections or decisions. But it's looking good, and we're confident.
You're still in this thing, and there are some people that thought that by this time of night you might be formulating some kind of concession speech, but there's no thought of that in your mind right now.
Absolutely not. Thank you.
All right. Is there, as you look back over this campaign, is there anything you might have done differently? Have you had any second thoughts?
No, not at all. We had a great staff and so many volunteers. It was just wonderful. I'm very, very grateful to all of them.
Well, let me get your thoughts on what we're seeing statewide in various races, as well as what's happening on the national scene.
I'm not sure that I've been able to keep up with it to make an adequate or any kind of informed opinion on it. So I'll let the voters decide, and we'll see before long.
Well, I'm gonna hang around and see what happens in your race in particular.
So glad to have you.
All right. Herb Rule there, Michael, and that's about all we have. At this point, this is, of course, the one race that everyone is focused on here at this location.
Okay, there's David Wallace at the watch party with Herb Rule, the Democratic candidate for the 2nd Congressional District. Rex, are you surprised that the incumbent, Congressman Tim Griffin, hasn't sewn this up?
Well, Pulaski County is showing again it can come with a strong Democratic vote. Tim Griffin, as Jay said, and I agree with him, is going to win. I think looking 2 years down the line, however, what it does is if Griffin does run against Mark Pryor or does run for governor, and that's an open seat, it gives Democrats some hope, and I think you'll see strong Democratic candidates probably in the primary for that race based on the fact that Herb Ruhl did a lot better or seems to be doing a lot better than a lot of people thought. You know, they used to call Jay, of course, the late Senator Hubert Humphrey, the happy warrior. Herb's kind of the happy warrior here.
Yeah. And I think he showed that you heard the spirit that has served him very well in this campaign, just didn't have the resources to get that message out. And I do think the point that Rex just made is a very important one. As national Democrats look at this district in 2 years when it is an open seat, I think they're going to say that's a place where we can invest and maybe pull off a win. And his showing tonight is very important for the future, even if he for Democrats, even if he ends up losing, as I think he will tonight.
There are, quite frankly, on the map of the South, there are very few majority white congressional districts anymore where Democrats can make a strong run. I mean, that's just the way it is. And the 2nd District of Arkansas, like you said, may be one on that national map where they say we have a chance if it's an open seat.
Exactly.
Well, of course, a big issue being watched tonight is the power of the Arkansas legislature. And FM89's Ben Fry has been looking at the election results this evening. Ben, what are you seeing at this point?
Well, looking at the Associated Press, their trending shows that in the Arkansas State Senate race, they're showing 9 Democrats have won, 11 Republicans, and leading, 4 Democrats are leading in the race, and 11 Republicans leading. So the trend they're showing is 13 Democrats and 22 Republicans. Then in the State House, just a second here. Okay, in the State House, we have 27 Democrats that have won, 26 Republicans, and one other. Gentlemen, who is the other that would be an independent? Oh,
it would be Fred Smith.
Fred Smith, right. That's right. That was just decided today, I guess, wasn't it?
Uh-huh.
And then leading in the race, Democrats 16 Democrats leading, 26 Republicans leading, with the trend being 43 Democrats in the House and 52 Republicans. And let me just also say that the AP has declared that Tom Cotton, Republican Tom Cotton, the winner in the race for U.S. House in the 4th District.
Any surprise there? This was Mike Ross's seat in Democratic hands for so long, Rex?
Not at all. I mean, Mike Ross was a conservative Democrat. That is becoming another rarity, the Southern conservative Democrat. That seat, given the current map in this region of the country, was ripe to become Republican. Tom Cotton's going to be somewhere up around 60% when this thing is said and done. And again, nobody has told me this. I'm just speculating, but I think you'll see Tom Cotton actually in 2 years running for either the U.S. Senate or for governor.
Yeah, not a surprise at all. I think the bigger surprise was that the Democrats really kind of seeded this race early on by not bringing in a top-tier candidate. And it was going to be a tough race, and that's one reason they didn't get a top-tier candidate. But this could have been a much more interesting night because Tom Cotton is such an inexperienced candidate that Democrats should have forced him to run a real race, and he really didn't have to.
And that is a seat, even if Cotton were to run for higher office in just 2 years, that then becomes positioned, I think, to become Republican potentially for a long time. I mean, you've got legislators like a Matthew Shepard, for instance, of El Dorado, who I think could step in and certainly win that seat. And I know we're looking 2 years out, but that's what makes politics fun, as we look at who's coming in this year and what they might be thinking about 2 years hence.
And we've been taking questions from listeners throughout the evening. This one was sent to us by email. The person wrote, "I voted this morning, and I am unhappy about the ballot design. The president was listed on the ballot without his title, while other candidates were listed with theirs and also listed third under 2 other candidates. After calling to make a complaint, I was told that the placement is done by a draw, but that I could complain about the lack of a title."
I thought the campaigns had a choice of how the listing would be occur. Now, Arkansas state law says that if you don't hold the office at that point, you can't list a title. There's some laws related to title, but the candidates themselves and their campaigns have a lot of choice over how it's listed. So I think that would be a complaint to the Obama campaign.
I agree. How
they listed the president.
And you're exactly right. And the ballot position, that is a draw.
Mm-hmm. In getting back to the state legislature, we have about 2 minutes left, but the governor remains extremely popular, mm-hmm. about two-thirds approval rating in the state. Should he have done more, do you think, with the political capital he has to help his fellow Democrats?
You know, he put a ton of money that he had left over from his campaign 2 years ago basically to fund the Democratic Party. So I don't think anybody on the Democratic side can complain about what Mike Beebe has done. He has helped keep the whole party apparatus afloat, actually, with his personal campaign funds. And governors traditionally don't have much coattails in individual races in Arkansas. We're a state of fewer than 3 million people, and people tend to know the candidates. And I've never seen a governor with what I would describe as real coattails in legislative races, Jay.
No, and when governors have tried to intervene in races, they've lost more often than they've won.
Yep.
Both Governor Huckabee and Governor Beebe have had some pretty embarrassing losses. And he did appear in the ads, you know, kind of countering the Americans for Prosperity ads, which we may talk a little bit about later. And I think that I agree. I think he did about all he could. And Democrats around the state really did try to latch themselves to Mike Beebe, but I think ultimately it's about those individual candidates at the local level.
Okay, joining me in the studio, Rex Nelson, who writes a column for the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, was political editor of the newspaper and an advisor to former Governor Mike Huckabee, and Jay Barth, chair of the Department of Politics and International Relations at Hendricks College. We also welcome your questions. You can call and leave a voicemail message at 569-8491. You can also find that number on our website at KUAR.org and on our website on our page on Facebook. This is coverage of Election Night 2012 on KUAR, Little Rock, FM 89. This is KUAR, FM 89. I'm Michael Heplin, joined in the studio tonight by Rex Nelson and Jay Barth. And just a short time ago, Tom Cotton made a victory speech in Hot Springs. So let's bring you a segment of this. This is courtesy of television station KARK Channel 4.
As I did in the U.S. Army once before, tonight I give you my solemn oath that in Congress I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States and the spirit of our beloved Republic. That oath is a great privilege and humbling honor for me. It brings to mind the debt of gratitude we owe to all those who came before us in America, as well as the debts that I owe to so many in this room. To all of you for your hard work over the last 15 months, to my campaign team, who when we started this race had as much political experience as I did. None.
That's Tom Cotton speaking just a short time ago. It's looking like a good night for the Republican Party in terms of the four congressional seats. FM 89's Nathan Vandiver is live right now at the Republican Watch Party in West Little Rock. And Nathan, what's the mood like there?
Michael, just still more applause as the state results roll in. Earlier state representative in the Little Rock area, Alan Kerr, gave a short victory speech to a healthy amount of applause. He said opponent Barbara Graves called him to concede. He said Republicans are painting the state red this year. And Congressman Tim Griffin said he's still waiting for the official word, but his odds are looking good. And, you know, he's talking about feeling confident. And there wasn't a whole lot of crowd noise here when they played Tom Cotton's victory speech on the big screen. You have to wonder if the big thing the folks here are waiting to hear about is the presidential election.
Indeed, the presidential race, that's what most people are following right now. And Rex, what do you think looking at this? That's
exactly why it's a little quieter over there. I mean, just before we came into this local segment, you heard NPR declare Barack Obama in Ohio. I mean, not to 270 in their count yet, but that's game, set, and match. Barack Obama is going to be reelected tonight, president of the United States. So that's going to take a little of the luster from that national victory by President Obama off what in Arkansas is going to be a really good night for the Republican Party.
Yeah, I think that's true. Although I think it's interesting, you know, and look at the state results that are starting to solidify. You know, it's Obama's doing maybe marginally a little bit better than he did 4 years ago. I mean, it was a low bar to get over, but I think a lot of folks thought, you know, this was really going to be an even bigger defeat for the Democrats statewide, and his vote may have helped prop up some of these legislative races. But at the end of the day, we know what the outcome's going to be.
Yeah, but I was going to say, Jay, I don't think it's going to be as big a night as some of my Republican friends who were predicting maybe 64, 65 House seats, 24, 25 Senate seats. It's not going to be to that level based on what I'm looking at right now.
But it's going to be a comfortable
It's going to be
huge,
a majority on both
huge
sides.
Night. And going back to our opening comments, a pretty historic night for the state.
Well, for some of the latest numbers that we have right now as we continue following the results, Ben Fry joining me right now.
Well, let's look at some of the ballot issues that we voted on today. In issue number one, the sales tax for highways, with 45% of precincts reporting, that's 59% for, and it's that's been the number we've seen just about all night long. It's been sticking. On issue two, the local development bonds, 44% of precincts reporting, and that's been running at 56% against or something close to that all night long. And then looking at the medical marijuana issue, that is running right now with 44% of the precincts reporting at 52% against the issue.
And on medical marijuana, Jay or Rex, are you surprised at how tight this has come out?
I actually am. I thought when it first hit the ballot that it would be defeated at least in the mid to upper 50s. If it's defeated, it's going to be the low 50s at Spearing, Jay.
Well, and the really interesting thing, county by county around the state, and we've got some counties where it hadn't shown at all, but it's one in only a few counties, and Pulaski is where it's gotten a big win. In the high 50s, but it's lost pretty much everywhere, but it hadn't lost badly anywhere. And so it definitely is an issue that has appeal across partisan lines in a way that very few issues in this state do. It didn't polarize by party. It did okay in Republican counties. It did okay in really Democratic counties. It looks like it won some in the Delta, and I think it's going to win some counties in Northwest Arkansas, and then it won here in Pulaski County.
Based on our earlier discussion of the second congressional district race, then, Jay, are you prepared to say that we like Herb and Herb here in Pulaski County?
It was Pulaski County acted like a progressive county, which is what it is, I think that, and as the biggest county in the state, that means that, you know, there's always going to be a voice for more progressive issues in the state.
Absolutely.
And Ben, did you have something to add?
Yes, I just wanted to let you know that the Associated Press has declared Congressman Tim Griffin the winner in the second congressional district seat.
Okay, interesting. Well, we probably see speeches from them soon. And on the topic, back to the state legislature, we haven't really hit on the fact that we've had so much outside money come into this race. Americans for Prosperity, the Koch brothers. What kind of impact has this, and has that been effective?
Well, with Arkansas, and I made the point earlier that we're different than the Deep South, but still among all the southern states, being kind of that last holdout with Democrats controlling both the Senate and the House, for groups like the Koch brothers, I think Arkansas presented a challenge and an opportunity at the same time, where they said we could make a real difference. And in a small state, a state of fewer than 3 million people, a state with a limited number of television markets, you can make a big difference with a lot less money here than in bigger states.
And tell you what, right now I'm seeing NBC is saying Barack Obama has been reelected. Let's rejoin NPR and see what they're reporting.
I do not believe that they are overwhelmingly going to be carried to victory. This is a crowd watching some TV networks that, although NPR has not yet gone there, these networks have called the race for President Obama's reelection. And
we're, you know, conservative, you know.
We're cautious here, but the crowd, if they were somber before, well, they're, you know, ready to pack up at this point.
The Empire State Building is now entirely blue, but we have not yet given Barack Obama the 270 electoral votes he needs to win the Electoral College. Ari, let's just talk about the path that brought Mitt Romney here, because, of course, he ran for president also 4 years ago. This is something that he has been banking on for quite some time.
Yeah, and don't forget that this is also a generational thing. 44 years ago, his father ran for president, failed in the primaries, and Mitt Romney came so much closer tonight.
We have been in this place before when networks have called the race, and we have not. And yeah. I'd like to ask Ron.
But before we go to Ron, let me just point out that on the Twitter feed from Barack Obama, he has already said 4 more years. We are all in this together. That's how we campaign, and that's who we are. This happened because of you. It's a preliminary bit of acceptance
isn't
speech
he
in
being
less than
rash.
140 characters at a time.
By the way, in Virginia, he's now up by 7,000 votes, with 92% of the precincts reporting that is President Obama's. NPR, oh, well, we don't have time now for Ron Elving, do we? Are we going to do that right after the break? You guys tell me, right after the break. The news is that Ohio has gone for Barack Obama. And
Wisconsin, we have now called for Barack Obama, which puts him over the 270 electoral votes he needs.
Barack Obama, you heard it first, he has won a majority in the Electoral College.
275 votes, I would give him.
Something that didn't seem all that certain not that many months ago, but certainly a very decisive win here this evening. You've been listening, and I hope you'll continue to listen to special coverage of Election Night 2012 from NPR News.
This is KUAR-FM 89. We will be back to NPR in just a minute and a half to rejoin and find out the latest. But Rex, your thoughts?
Well, he just said it didn't seem all that certain. You know, Jay, it did seem pretty certain to me until that first debate. And then after that first debate, along with a lot of people, I got to thinking, well, maybe Romney pulls this thing off. But President Obama had a very good, I'd say, last 2 weeks of the campaign.
Well, he did, and I think all along they had a clear plan, and the plan was to win these handful of states. I mean, apparently the Obama campaign really never took a national poll. They really focused on the states they needed to win, and I think this is a campaign that was really a machine, and it didn't have the grace, and it didn't have the flowing rhythms of 4 years ago, but this was just a very effective reelection machine, and they everything hit right as they expected tonight. You can see that, so I think I think the interesting thing now will be whether down below the presidential race ballot, Democrats will begin to use the same kind of technique, and whether it can make a difference in some lower level races.
Okay, I'm joined in the studio by Jay Barth of Hendricks College and Rex Nelson as we continue to follow the returns as they come in. This is KUAR FM 89 in Little Rock. This is KUAR FM 89. I'm Michael Hiplin, joined in the studio by Rex Nelson and Jay Barth. And Rex, as we see the presidential race going to President Obama, you served as an advisor for former Governor Huckabee. How do you feel he would have fared had he decided to go into the race as many thought he would?
You know, it is hard to speculate on that, Michael, although I will tell you, I think that one of the problems that Mitt Romney had on a national basis is he never inspired deep passion, even among his own supporters. I mean, yes, we're going to vote for him. Yes, we're Republican. Yes, we want Barack Obama out. But never that passion of people who would go out and beat on doors and try to convince others to vote for him. There are people, and a lot of them, who dislike Mike Huckabee, but the people who do like him, They like him very much, and he does have the ability, and I've watched that, Jay, to inspire deep passion in his supporters.
Oh, unquestionably, and I think he does have that ability to connect with people, which Mitt Romney really never showed. I mean, he showed some hints of it, and I think obviously after the first debate, things kind of came together a little bit, but it wasn't an ongoing connection with folks. And on the other side, of course, this is, I think, as the results show tonight, I mean, it would have been very difficult for a candidate as conservative mm-hmm. as Mike Huckabee has expressed himself to be on many social issues to win in America today. And I think especially on issues like choice and some other issues where Barack Obama really beat up Romney, it would have even been an easier Huckabee would have been an easier target. I do think that Huckabee, especially in his Arkansas days, you know, did show an understanding of some immigration issues, which the National Republican Party mm-hmm. really needs to move towards. I mean, just seeing some exit poll data, you know, that Romney lost Latino votes by 40 points. Latino votes by 40 points tonight. I mean, in a growing part of demographic of the electorate, I mean, that party can simply not survive if it continues that kind of trend.
I agree. I said earlier, Michael, you know, one of the fun things about politics is looking ahead. Had Mitt Romney been elected tonight, obviously he would have been running for reelection 4 years after that. In 8 years, Mike Huckabee would have been 65. 4 years from now, though, he will be just 61, Jay, which is still relatively young mm-hmm. in modern American presidential politics.
And I think we are going to see something of a real battle break out in the Republican Party to find its identity. Mm-hmm. And Mike Huckabee, more than any other of the leaders in that part of the party, I think has a base of support. He's run a campaign before. He obviously has really developed a persona that he's got a voice in the party. The question is, does he do that as a candidate or does he do it from the sidelines?
Yeah, and let me say one more thing while we're looking ahead 2 years in a strange way. Barack Obama being reelected tonight, in my opinion, politically, is the worst thing that could have happened for Senator Mark Pryor in his reelection campaign here in Arkansas, and for whomever the Democratic gubernatorial nominee is, because Obama tends to be such a drag in this state.
Yeah, no, I think that's true. And he's still the symbol of the party, and in this state, that's obviously not a very attractive symbol for a lot of voters.
Yeah, having him in office 2 years from now will hurt Pryor and will hurt the Democratic gubernatorial nominee.
Yeah. Well, in terms of the congressional races, looking like indeed the four Republicans running will get all of those. AP here about a half hour ago called the race the second district race here in central Arkansas for incumbent Tim Griffin. And he spoke to supporters a short time ago. Let's see, David Wallace, are you still with me there at Herb Rule headquarters?
Yes, I am, and you would never know from the demeanor of the people here that that race has been called or that Congressman Griffin has made a victory speech, because there has been no move to the podium by Herb Rule to make a concession speech to this point. At times it seems, well, other media members have positioned themselves to, you know, train their cameras on the podium and are ready for that moment, but Mr. Rule himself hasn't made a move to the podium, and they're sort of in a holding pattern. In fact, the campaign didn't make anyone available to me for this live shot. I just think they aren't ready to answer any questions, but we expect that statement to be forthcoming.
Okay, that's David Wallace at the watch party for Herb Rule, the Democrat who was running for the 2nd District. Then in terms of the state legislative races, Ben Fry has been following the latest returns we've been getting in. Ben, what's the latest at this point? Is this going to be Republicans taking both chambers?
Well, it's looking that way. The Associated Press is reporting on the state Senate numbers that 9 Democrats have won positions in the state Senate, 11 Republicans have won their positions in the state Senate, and then 3 Democrats are leading in races currently, with 12 Republicans leading. So if the ones leading in those races actually win, that would be 12 Democrats and 23 Republicans in the Arkansas State Senate. Then turning to the State House, the trends look like this. 29 Democrats have won state House seats, 32 Republicans, and one from another party. And then leading in their particular race is 18 Democrats and 19 Republicans. And if all those that are leading in their races currently win, then that would leave us with 47 Democrats and 51 Republicans in the Arkansas State House.
Yeah, and it looks like John Hubbard has lost his race up in Jonesboro. And it looks like Loy Mock may also lose his race. There's one precinct out there. So their racially insensitive remarks, which got a lot of national press, it appears cost them at least one of them their race, and may well cost the other one. I am a bit surprised that the House is closer than the Senate. And indeed, at this moment, the Democrats still have a glimmer of hope in the House if they got some breaks in some of these races out here. It's going to be very close, but the Senate doesn't appear that it will be close. I think the other thing that will be interesting this week, we've seen some other states when there has been a switch, when a party has gained control, there's been some individual party switches.
Yep.
And it'll be interesting to see if any of these Democrats who are elected make a switch this week. That will be a real sign. I think the Democrats who are left are pretty loyal Democrats for the most part. They're not that many conservative, truly kind of Republican-esque Democrats left. But that'll be something to watch in the next few days as well. But I think it may be a late night in terms of for the Republicans to lock down the House. Based on those numbers,
I think it's going to happen, and I think this is inside baseball. But those of us that like to play inside political baseball, one of the interesting things to watch between now and the legislative session in January, also Jay, because we've never experienced this change in Arkansas. House staff positions, Senate staff positions, Bureau of Legislative Research. I mean, do we start seeing some changes even at the staff level out of the state capitol? I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah, it's a great question. And it's a lot of institutional memory that could be lost in the process as well.
Well, we will be staying with NPR's coverage, but this will be our last report for the evening. So for each of you, and Rex, I'll start with you. Any final thoughts?
Well, the fact that we have seen history tonight. I mean, Republicans last controlled either house of the Arkansas legislature back in the 1870s during the Reconstruction period after the Civil War. There's nobody alive, obviously, in this state that has ever seen Republicans controlling either the state house or the Senate. So even though we predicted it coming in, we're still watching Arkansas history happen on this November night in 2012.
Jay?
I think the disconnect between what's happening nationally and what's happening in Arkansas, I think is that the nation is really, obviously he's won a tough race, but he's won a solid second term, and Arkansas has gone a different direction. And I think Arkansas really is showing its independence from the rest of the nation, which it's done for a long time, but in a slightly different way than it has historically.
Okay. Jay Barth, a professor of political science at Hendricks College, along with Rex Nelson, longtime reporter, journalist, editor of the political section for the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Thank you both for your time tonight.
Thank you. Enjoyed it.
You bet.
Thanks.
And we will stay with NPR's coverage throughout the evening. We will have speeches coming soon, we expect, from President Obama, who it's now been declared will be reelected. Mitt Romney will be speaking to supporters soon. So stay with us throughout the night, and we will continue bringing you live coverage. This is FM 89 KUAR.